up, everyone. We have another jam-packed episode for you guys. Last week and the week before, we were talking about parenting with a purpose and how God has commissioned us as parents, whatever that kind of parenting looks like, whether you're a single mom, you're in a relationship, or you're a grandparent or an aunt, because, you know, guardianship has to happen too. You're a foster parent. It doesn't matter what kind of parent you are. You can do a great job at it, and God has given you His Bible, which is your manual. And that's what we have been tackling, and it has been so good. And I have myself have been convicted on how I have been parenting and maybe some things that I need to fix personally in how I parent my kids. So it doesn't matter who you are or what stage you're at in your parenting, you can always make amends and you can fix it. God's redeeming power is unfathomable. Today we are going to be talking specifically about discipline, but let me introduce to you our guest. She's back again. Yay. We're so excited. She attended Drury University and received a degree in elementary education, a lifetime teaching certificate, and a minor in communications with a writing emphasis. She has been in the educational field in different capacities for over 30 years. She has founded two different successful schools. She is passionate about helping and teaching parents to raise God-fearing, productive citizens who will change the world for the kingdom of God.
Awesome.
Please welcome Deanne Daniel.
Thank you. It is an honor to be here. Thank you. It's my privilege to be here.
We're so glad that you have continued to come back and do this with us, because I know that this is your heart and your ministry to help people to learn how they can become better parents. So the biggest issue I think a lot of parents do have is on the discipline. Well, there's so many different ways to discipline, and there's such a difference between disciplining and doing a punishment. And I know we'll get into all of that. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him." And you get to take it from there.
Anytime I teach on discipline, this is when parents go, okay, I'm all ears.
Right.
Because this is probably the number one question that we get from parents is, how do I do this and what do I do? And I think
it's such a delicate subject, though, too, and discipline has to be done properly.
It does. And there are some fundamental things that we can learn today that you can apply, and it'll change your life. It'll change your family dynamic. You'll find peace in your home. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to understand that correct discipline is really important to the Lord. If you start studying the scriptures in the Bible about discipline, it's amazing how many. You read one of so many. And the Lord tells us where foolishness is bound. Mm-hmm. It's in the heart of a child. And it tells us how to get that out of there and how to change their heart. Discipline is the key to your child fulfilling the call of God on their life, because an undisciplined person will not obey the voice of the Lord.
Right.
So you have to look at the big picture. It's going to bring peace in my home, which is wonderful. I'm not going to get called to the school every other day, which is great not to have on your plate. But in the big picture, we're training our child for his future. We want them to succeed. And if we don't discipline our children, someone will. Mm-hmm. Whether that's the school or the police or the military, somebody's going to discipline your child.
Right.
And it's always best if it's done in the home. Mm-hmm. And then our goal is that they learn how to self-discipline.
Right.
It's huge. That's success when your children are self-disciplining. But I think also we need to understand that the whole goal here is when we are training our children to obey us, we're training them to obey God.
Right.
That's huge. That is huge. And we also need to know that the Lord would have our children to find favor with other people for many reasons.
Right.
There's just so many benefits, not only because you want your children to be the kind of people that other people enjoy being around, but how are they going to share the gospel if nobody wants to listen to what they have to say? Right. How are they going to show the love of God and help other people on the playground? My son led somebody to the Lord in third grade on the playground.
That's cute.
You know, how it's wonderful, but if he didn't know how to make friends and be relatable and know what is what, then that couldn't have happened. So I think there's a lot to learn about discipline.
Absolutely. Again, the whole correct discipline is so important, is the correct type of discipline. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you do it out of anger, which is not the right mode. And you have to make sure that when you're disciplining your child, you're doing it in the right way and with the right attitude, so it is a teaching moment. Right.
I think one thing that surprises a lot of parents is when I say that discipline is not about changing your child's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we think. You know, he's running around, he's not obeying, he's not doing this. We need to change his behavior. Discipline is about changing his heart. Mm-hmm. That's key. That's huge. It's about changing your child's heart, because the behavior will follow the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
How do I know that that's correct? Because as you read early in the segment, mm-hmm. that foolishness is bound up where?
In the heart.
In the heart of a child. Mm-hmm. In the heart of a child. So we're trying to change and remove foolishness from the heart of a child. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to change his behavior. That's putting the cart before the horse.
Yes.
But if we do it God's way, we're going to get God's results. And
yes.
So if we change his heart, that will change his behavior. There are, you mentioned some different things there that I'd like to address, that there are some different basics. You talked about being upset and angry when you discipline.
Right.
That's an absolute no-no. Absolutely. When we treat our children in an angry way, all that is teaching them is mama's mad.
Right.
Yeah. The whole thing, you have to look at the interaction with your child. Look at it from your child's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're angry, then you are producing something in them that you don't want. You're producing a fear of you. You know, this is something that you ought to be on the same side. And that puts you on opposite sides. Another thing I like to talk about are bribes versus rewards.
Yes.
And a bribe is something that it's always given beforehand. For example, if you do this, then you will get this.
Right.
All right. So your son or daughter will do this because they want this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. Because why did they do it? Just because they want this. It is a temporary fix. It is a surface change. You're not changing their heart.
Right.
Everything in discipline is about changing their heart. Everything about raising children is about turning their heart towards the Lord and what is right and wrong according to his word. That's the bottom line on all of this. So if you bribe your child, if you do this, you'll get this. Then the next time we come to do it, guess what? Mm-hmm. You're going to have to say, if you do this, then you'll get this again. If you want this behavior as a parent, then you're bribing them and you're not changing their heart. But now a reward. The Bible says that the Lord rewards those that diligently seek him. God is all about rewards. I mean, read Revelation. God is all about it. You know, it's going to be great. But a reward always comes after, and it's almost always a surprise.
Okay.
Let me give you an example. So if your son or daughter cleaned their room yesterday, you told them to clean their room. They did it with a happy heart. That's another key. We could talk for about 30 minutes about a happy heart.
Yeah. Yes.
And so if they did it the first time you asked them to, they did it with a happy heart. Well, then the next day you say, you remember yesterday when I told you to clean your room and you were watching TV and you stopped watching TV, you got up and you went and did what I asked you to do? Yeah, Mama, I remember that. Well, you know what? I am so pleased with you. I am so happy that you did that. Let's go get ice cream. Or depending on what their love language is, speak to them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's just quality time. Let's go out and play ball in the yard. Let's do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And connect it. Always connect the reward to a good behavior. Because you know what they will do? They will live up to that expectation next time.
Yeah.
You are changing their heart, not bribing them to behave better.
Right. You're talking about connecting with their love language, which is really important.
Yes.
Because then it's not about getting this thing. It's about a deeper connection.
Yes.
You know, which is building relationship and trust and opening doors of communication.
Right.
And a million other things that are beneficial.
Absolutely. And knowing your child's love language is really, really important. Gary Chapman has a book out, The Five Love Languages. Mm-hmm. It's been out for a long time. He also has a child's version of that. And know, too, that sometimes your kids will change.
Yes.
I have a daughter who, when she was little, she was a snuggle bear. I mean, she cuddling was so important to her. So I'm like, oh, physical touch is going to be her love language. But as an adult, she will clearly tell you physical touch is not my love language. But they're evolving. They're changing. And mm-hmm. and that may not have been her love language, but it was important when she was 3 and 4.
Right.
You know? So know your child. Know what speaks to them. Connect with them. What a beautiful experience to connect with your child. And even times when you're going to do something anyway, connect it to something they did that was right. Connect it to a good choice.
Right.
I think that's really important. You're going to buy shoes for them when school starts anyway. But you know what? Because you were such and such, or you made
yes.
this choice, I'm going to get the ones you want instead of the ones that I picked out.
Right.
Connect it as, this is good. I'm being rewarded for making good choices.
Well, and everybody likes that. No matter who you are, you like words of affirmation, even
yes.
if you don't really know what to do with them. It still makes you feel good. You know, then you're like, oh, they just told me I did a good job with this. I mean,
yes.
it's true. Even as an adult, right? You like it when your boss comes to you and says, hey, you did a good job. You were an amazing employee today. Thank you for going above and beyond. That makes everybody feel good. Or coming up and say, hey, your kid's really well behaved. Thank you for teaching them to be a good student, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That makes you feel validated.
It does.
And it does that for children too. So then
Absolutely.
They connect that with, oh, I want to do that again. I want mommy and daddy or grandma or grandpa or whoever it is to be proud of me
yes.
and give me that feeling of, oh, I did a good thing.
That's right.
And
they,
it's
they
important.
Really do.
The opposite is true, too. I remember as a kid, if I got in trouble, the worst part of it was feeling like I let my parents down.
Mm-hmm.
Like any of the other punishment or penalty or whatever, the worst thing was that feeling that I had let them down.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's true of all three of us when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
So
talking about that, though, what is the difference between a punishment and a discipline?
A punishment is done to a child. A discipline is done for a child. If I punish a child, honestly, it's like you were talking about earlier, being angry or mm-hmm. so upset at their behavior because they really should know better. Parents get frustrated. It's just what, you know, there are
still
times.
Still humans.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But if we are giving out a punishment, basically, I want you to suffer because I've had to suffer.
Gotcha.
Mm. It's more like revenge almost.
Almost. It's like, I'll show you who's boss. Okay. But a discipline deals with the heart, and a discipline will change the heart. And a discipline, like I said, is done for the child's benefit.
Right.
Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. This is not to say, oh, honey, don't do that again. Okay, that's great. We're done. No, no. We've all had children, you know. So you still carry out the discipline, but your motive behind it is completely different. Again, if we look to their future, always look to your child's future.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get caught up, because when you are mad in the moment, that's when you end up saying or doing something that you should not, and you need to come back and apologize for it. But it's better to be prepared going into life with your children to know, okay, mm-hmm. when this happens, I have prepared and we have a discipline plan already set out. Can I talk about the discipline plan for a second?
Of course.
So the way that we raised our kids, and I would suggest it for anybody, honestly, because the purpose is eternal. And
yeah.
what do I mean by that is this, that our goal is that our kids would behave or mind or be obedient the first time we ask them to do something mm-hmm. in a conversational tone of voice. That's the goal. Overall goal number one. Do what I ask you to do with a happy heart the first time in a conversational tone of voice. I'm not yelling at my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not raising my voice. And when I hit a certain octave, then my kids know I mean business.
Mm-hmm.
No, I want them to obey me the first time, because guess what? I want them to obey God
yeah.
the first time.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't yell at us. He doesn't bully us.
Right.
He doesn't strong arm us. What does he do? In a conversational tone of voice, he asks us to do something.
Right.
And we are completely training them to look to him. Does it make sense about looking to their future?
Yes.
Okay. So they're under your roof now, and if they learn to obey the first time in a conversational tone of voice, then when they're under their own roof and they're driving down the road and the Lord says, don't turn here, you know, God's not screaming at him. He's not banging on. He's saying, don't do that or do this. Okay. What do you do other than that, having that goal? There are basically six steps here that we'll talk about. And the first one is to, when you discipline a child, make sure they know what they did wrong.
Right.
And if they didn't know that it was wrong, they can't be disciplined for it.
Because that kind of goes back to the stages of parenting, too, to know, okay, they're in this stage, so we have to talk this way to them or whatever.
Absolutely. Another thing, just to throw in on that note, is you always do it privately. It is never our goal to discipline our children in front of other people because, number one, it's not their business. But number two, and more importantly, this is a private affair between you and your child and your God. And to change their heart, you're not trying to embarrass them. That's never the goal. The goal is to cultivate their heart.
Right.
So make sure they know what they've done wrong. Make sure they don't have any questions.
Right.
Do you understand? Do you let them speak. Now, I'm not saying you let them get up in your business and they're going to tell you the what. That's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But if they have questions,
it's a conversation.
It is a conversation.
Right.
And then this is huge. Separate the child from the offense. This is so important. You are a good boy. You made a poor choice.
Yes, right.
Absolutely.
Again, think about discipline from your child's perspective, because if you're saying what this was wrong, what they're hearing is, I'm bad, I'm wrong, I'm bad. That's not a goal. We never want to present that to our children. I would rather you overdo it than underdo it in this area. Mm-hmm. Always separate the offense from the child. You are a good girl, but you made a poor choice.
Right.
We're going to learn how to make better choices.
Okay. Hold that thought, Deanne. We have to take a really quick break, but we will come back and talk about the other points that she needs to get to on discipline. We'll be right back.
Have erroneous Bible translations hijacked the women's empowerment movement started by Jesus Christ? Skywatch TV is proud to present The Handmaiden's Conspiracy Collection. When you order Reverend Donna Howell's groundbreaking book, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, and Allie Henson and Reverend Donna Howell's book, Dark Covenant, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive the Dark Covenant Companion DVD. Packed with mind-blowing information on the Western Church undergoing a dark transformation into a cult. In the amazing book, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, Reverend Donna Howell uncovers the cultural and historic backdrop behind Paul's words in the New Testament that correct the record on some of the most misinterpreted scriptures in modern history in relation to women, their leadership role in the church, and helps you understand properly what Paul was responding to when the epistles were written. In The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, you will follow the cultural and historic backdrop behind Paul's words in 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy, the trouble verses in relation to the issue of women's leadership in the church. Discover what the original Greek nouns and adjectives meant in Paul's greeting orders, and meet the unsung heroines that Paul addressed as his co-workers in ministry, such as Phoebe, Priscilla, Junia, and several others. Reflect upon the women Jesus knew, both from Scripture as well as in person, and the groundbreaking permanent changes he made regarding their rights, their value, and their role in delivering his message to the world. Also included in this special offer, Allie Henson and Reverend Donna Howell's shocking written expose, Dark Covenant, which details how the masses are being groomed to embrace the unthinkable, while leaders of organized religion make a deal with the devil. In this jaw-dropping book, you will learn how the church is being groomed to embrace the unthinkable in preparation for the enforcement of the mark of the beast, how the true body of Christ is being slowly positioned to be considered a public enemy, with the Bible labeled as hate speech and possibly soon prohibited, how much of Western Christianity has actually become a cult, and what the true body of Christ can do to survive the modern assault on Christianity. But that's not all. In this must-have collection, you'll also receive the Dark Covenant Companion DVD. Join Reverend Donna Howell, Allie Henson, and the SkyWatch TV investigative team for this original four-part series on DVD. This eye-opening expose is an essential teaching tool that is already sending shockwaves through the Western religious establishment and is certain to help ready the true remnant of God with the tools needed to navigate the coming days of persecution. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $70. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. Find out what Jesus truly thought of women's roles in the church and become equipped with knowledge and power to push back the powers of deception. This collection is available only while supplies last, so don't delay. The Handmaiden's Conspiracy Collection, available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
These just incredible information for your life and your parenting skills. So we were just going through the six items of discipline and how you need to do this. We just got done with separate your child from the offense.
Right. So after you have that part of the conversation and the discipline has taken place, mm-hmm. then you hold them and you pray with them. And every time we pray with our kids, we gave them a choice. You can either pray or I can pray and you can repeat after me. But let's be honest, they were in such a state, they were like, I'll just repeat after you at that point mm-hmm. most of the time, which is good though, because you get to lead the prayer. And part of that prayer I always think is so important that we include is to say, Father, please forgive me for whatever they did. Mm-hmm. And then after that, thank you for forgiving me. That is so important because we need to train our children that God is not mad at them, that he did forgive them, and that we can move forward from here. I think that is so important because you are building up a whole mindset of how they look at God.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And
for
they
sure.
need to know because they have been sorrowful through this. You have gotten to the point where they have been repentive and they know what was wrong, and they need to know that God doesn't hold that over their head. And then after mm-hmm. we pray and they say, thank you for forgiving me, then they turn to me and I ask them to say that to me, please forgive me, Mama, for whatever they did. And I immediately do the same. I give them that forgiveness. And then after I do that, I express love to my child. They need to be held. Even if they're not a hugger at that moment, they need to be touched.
Right.
Hold their hand, pat them, love on them, and express your love for them. And then finally, it's done. Don't bring it up again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How does God forgive us?
Yeah.
The sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west.
Right.
That's what we need to do. Because here's the thing. I'm sorry, but your kid is probably going to do this again.
Right.
Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's probably going to happen again. Don't say, didn't we just deal with this 2 weeks ago? Remember last week when this happened? Don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay.
Be done with it. They are forgiven. And it's done.
Because this is a new offense.
That's exactly right. It may be the same kind,
right.
but it's a new offense. And you can build on things. And it's okay to say things like, we have talked about learning how to make a good choice in this area, but you're not finger pointing.
Right.
Remember the bad thing you did.
Right.
That's just super, super important. And the way that we talk to our kids, not only in discipline, but all the time, but especially when you're disciplining them, don't say things like, I can't believe you did this, because mm-hmm. that just oozes, I'm so disappointed with you. You're no good. I just can't believe that my kid would do this. But
right.
what if we say something like, that's not like you.
Yeah.
That's not like you to lie. That's not like you to mm-hmm. not do what you're asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the difference?
Yes.
And the way that we speak to our children is so important.
Absolutely, it is.
I think it's important to, you know, you're talking about leaving something alone and not dragging it back up. This is a little bit unrelated, but one of the maddest I ever got, and I can be kind of a mama bear sometimes, but one of the maddest I ever got at someone in my community, we were at a community event, and there was this time they didn't want the kids to talk, and one of my kids was talking. Like, that was the whole length of the offense. And this person said to my son, you should be ashamed of yourself. And that just made me so mad. Like, kids pick up enough shame.
Mm-hmm.
from junk that doesn't even have anything to do yes. with them. They pick it up from bullies. They pick it up from adults that don't handle their position correctly, whether it's a teacher or a babysitter or whatever. I mean, they They get it everywhere. And yeah. then someone like inflicts it on them. You should be ashamed. There's one thing for having conviction over something you've done wrong. But when somebody else is just inflicting extra shame for no good reason on your child, it's so damaging. It goes back to kind of what we were talking about last week with the negative things that, you know, you hear this and it takes a lot of positivity to take you back out of that place. It's so easy to put a kid there, but it's so hard to bring them back out.
If you had mentioned motive earlier for discipline. Whenever we are disciplining our children, we are creating a disciple.
That's good, yeah.
Yes.
And that disciple will be a product of whatever we are putting into them, that's which is what you've said important. These whole episodes. But when she was young, Allie was very young, and we were in our very first church that we went to pastor, and there was a woman in the church that just did not like her and was constantly nitpicking at her. And she had a daughter close to the same age. But she was always trying to find fault in everything that she would do. And then she would come and goad me to discipline her
yeah.
or to whatever. So there was this little thing that we told everybody in the church, please don't use the offering envelopes for anything but money because the kids were doing stuff with them and tearing them up and spit wads or whatever. So we had made an announcement. Well, it was shortly after that, it was brought to my attention by this one person that my daughter, can you just look at what she did to this offering envelope? And I looked at it, and I grabbed it, and I know what she was doing. I'd caught on to this by now. I looked at it, and I went, oh, my goodness, that is a masterpiece. Look at that. She had drawn a little picture, and I'm just all bragging on it. I'm going to frame that thing. She got the picture after that. But I always felt like I had to do this more than once and in other places as well because there are those people who will come in from the outside. And for one, I don't even know what their motive is to make you do something to your child. But I always tried to make sure that whatever I did with my child was, like you said, a private affair between my child and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our business, not yours. And if I feel this needs correction it will be.
Right.
And it'll be on our terms. So the respect that I gave them is I always treated them like a little person who had feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And that they, if this was someone else's child, would I scream and flail my arms? No.
Right.
So, but anyway, the story ended that became a little memento that I had. And we talked about it later. And
yeah,
you may not remember. But it was a private affair. We talked about it later, and it never happened again. But I didn't allow other people to influence my method or my motive for my relationship with my child.
That's important because you are the parent, and you're being the parent. But on the other hand, as a school teacher for many years, you know, the little Johnny that can do no wrong, bless. Okay, that's not what you're saying, right? Because on the other end of that spectrum is the parent that thinks their child never does anything wrong.
Oh, yeah, we have dealt with
those. And that is not what we're saying.
No, absolutely not. And on that note, we are out of time again. Can you believe that? It's kind of crazy how quickly it does go. Deanne will be back again next week to continue this conversation, right? And who knew that discipline would take such a long time? But it is such a... Well, I know. We did. We actually did know. But we're trying to give you guys as much information as you can have and use that's constructive. Because discipline is so important, but needs to be handled very delicately. Join us next week again as we continue this conversation. And we will see you next week in the Simply Is Coffee Shop.